Today's shiur is dedicated for Refuah Shleima for Shalom and Bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Nedarim Daf Mem Hei. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, the first words, Ibayis Eima. In our previous shiur, the Gemara had posed the question that according to Rabbi Yossi, we've been learning in our previous shiurim, even when somebody is mafker something, it does not become hefker until the other person who takes possession of it. If I'm mafka something, it's still considered mine until somebody else possesses it. So the question that was asked was, we learned a brisa that tells us that if somebody was mafka his property and then he repossessed it, the halacha is that he's potter, that he's chayiv and peret, and oilalus, and shich and peya, various matnas anim, where we learned that there's a special limud, the word tazoiv, to teach us that even though they were at one point a hefker, if I repossess it, I'm chayiv and all of these matnas anim. But meiser, which as we have been discussing in our shurim, the halach is that if you're mafka your field, it's no longer chayiv and meiser. That halacha we learned still exists even after your mafka, still exists even after your mafka your field, and even if you repossess it. And the Gemara's question was that according to Rabbi Yossi, it's still yours. Why should we part it from meiser? So the Gemara gave one teretz at the end of our previous year. And today the Gemara presents another teretz. Ibayis Eima, you could have the brisa that we just quoted be able to be consistent with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, but the brisa that says that until the other brisa that we learned in our shiur yesterday that says that if you repossess it, you'll be chayv meiser. This brisa that says that if you'll repossess it, you won't be chayv and meiser, represents two different ways of doing meiser. Hada afgrei b'ampe train. If you were mafgret only in front of two people, so the hefker is not considered a valid hefker, and therefore when you repossess it, it's as if you never were mafgret. For ha. The second brisa that we learned in our previous year, that if you were mafgrit and then you repossess it, you'll be potter from meiser, is when you were mafgrit apetlosa. You were mafgrit in front of three people. So if we look at the Gemara at face value, it seems that the Gemara is reversing its understanding of Rabbi Yossi. Because as we explained at the beginning of this year, Rabbi Yossi's opinion really was that if you're mafka something, it's not considered that it has left your possession until somebody else takes ownership of it. So why should there be a difference between two or three? So explains the Ran that the Gemara is now giving us a whole new understanding in Rabbi Yossi. That even though Rabbi Yossi indeed has taught us that if you're mafka something, it doesn't leave your possession, it doesn't leave your rishus until somebody takes possession of it. Rabbi Yossi only said that halacha when you were mafker in front of two people. However, if you were mafker in front of three people, Rabbi Yossi will agree that as soon as you're mafker, it leaves your rishus. And why? So the difference is, explains the Ran, is that when you're mafker in front of two people, there isn't such a large awareness that people will know that you are mafgrit. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi considers that not a situation of hefker, but rather he considers that a situation of matana, of a gift. And as we discussed in our previous year, when you give a gift, there everybody agrees that it doesn't leave your rishus until it comes to the possession of the person to whom you are giving a gift. Says Rabbi Yossi, when you were only mafker in front of two people, halachically, it's considered like a gift. But when you were mafker in front of three people, there is a kol. Everybody knows there's everybody's aware to do a mafkurit, and the chances of more people coming to possess it increases, and therefore Rabbi Yossi will agree that that is not to be considered a matana. It's going to be considered hefker. That's the pshat of the Ran, and that's the original pshat of the Rosh. That the difference is between that Rabbi Yossi himself differentiates between different types of hefker. A hefker in front of two people and a hefker before three people. Now, the question is that the Ran has explained that Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that when you're mafker in front of two people, it's considered a matana, or it's considered, according to Rabbi Yossi, a matana. Does that mean that it's not hefker at all? Does that mean according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not considered a hefker at all? And it'll be comparable to machloikis that we have in Shas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Machloikis, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, if somebody was mafker laniyim v'loy lashirim, if somebody was mafker something only for poor people and not for wealthy people, according to Beis Hillel, that is halachically not considered a hefker. If that's going to be the case, we're going to say that according to Rabbi Yossi, when you're mafker in front of two people, it's like you are mafker only laniyim, and therefore will be considered a matana. But the Noi de Bihuda has a different understanding. He says that it may be considered hefker, but it's considered a more limited hefker. And that's machloikis b'chsam soifer in Noi de Bihuda, how to learn the Ran. Says the Gemara, "The Amr Rabbi Yochum Shem Rabbi Yochum Tzadik, call a mafker b'fnei shloisha. If you're mafker in front of three people, have a hefker. The halacha considers it hefker b'fnei shnayim. But if you're only mafker in front of two people, lo have hefker." So I saw that the Sefer Mishmeres Kahuna says the way we just learned that what is the difference between if you be mafker between two people or three people. So the Ran just taught us because when you're mafker in front of two people, it doesn't have the same publicity as if you were mafker in front of three people. So says the Sefer Mishmeres Kahuna, a very bechiddush. According to that, if you're mafker, according to that understanding, even if you're mafker in front of three ketanim, the hefker will be a valid hefker. Because since your entire goal is just to publicize what you're doing, so it should be enough if you're mafker in front of three ketanim. I saw Reb David Pivarsky, and the Shur Reb David disagrees. And he says that when Reb Yochanan just taught us that you have to be mafker in front of three people, it has to be three people who are kosher ladies. There are those that suggest that maybe that's a Rabbanan degree requirement. That means Midaraisa, being mafker in front of any three people would be adequate. But the Rabbanan said they have to be Gedolim. So as we conclude the sugya, says the Ran, that this is only following the opinion. This that we just learned, that you have to have hefker in front of three people, is only going according to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, which, as we said at the beginning of our shir, Rabbi Yossi's opinion is that when you mafker something, it doesn't leave your possession until the person who picks it up takes it. That's why Rabbi Yochanan says, now Rabbi Yossi is a little more nuanced. And it's different if you were mafker in front of two people, in front of three people. But, says the Ran, according to the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Yossi, it could be that Rabbi Yossi, they will hold that you don't have to be mafker in front of three people. Their opinion is that every hefker is good. When you mafker it, it leaves you rishus immediately. Rabbi Shimon Levi, Amid Devar Torah, Shimon Levi says the Gemara disagrees with Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, afilu be'echad have hefker. If you're mafker in front of one person, it's enough. Ma tam amru b'fnei shloisha. So why did Rabbi Yochanan just tell us that you should have three people? Kedei she'echad zoicha. You should have the hefker be done in a way that one of the people that hears that you are mafkir it will have the ability to take possession of it, v'shnayim me'idim, and then there will be two other people who will be able to say edus that we saw him being mafkir it, and that the person who was mafkir it cannot be able to come back and claim, how did you pick up something that belongs to me? It's my object. And when the person who possesses it, who took possession of it, will say, well, you were mafkirit, will say, I was never mafkirit. But now by having this minimum of three people, we'll have two adam that will be able to say, you're mafkirit. So the Rishonim debate, in this point that Rishu ben Levi just made, that you have to have one person for hefker, doesn't mean midaraisa. Does that mean that midaraisa you have to have one person? Or really, Rishu ben Levi is saying that midaraisa, you could be mafker even without anybody else there altogether. The Rambam's opinion is that Reb Shua ben Levi is saying that in order for it to be a valid hefker, you have to have at least one person. And he said, and the Kesef Mishnah, in explaining the opinion of the Rambam, looks at the words of the Gemara that we just said. The Gemara says, "Dvatayra fil be'echad," which seems very much to mean that midaraisa, you have to have one. So that's the opinion of the Rambam. And the Rosh explains what is the basis for this explanation. So for this opinion, the Rosh explains that we've mentioned that the place in the Torah that we find this concept of Hefker is by Shemitah. Explains the Rosh that just like by Shemitah, the halacha is that what you have to have the ability for somebody to be able to go into your field, at least one person, here two. But the Rosh disagrees. He says that even one person can be a valid hefker. And the Rosh's raya is that we find in a number of places in Shas, we spoke about one of them in our previous year, that if somebody sees that he has an issue, that somebody has his animal, and it's Shabbos, and he's concerned, he rented his animal to someone, he leased his animal to someone, he's concerned on Shabbos, somebody's going to use that animal, he could be mafkir animal. And there is no requirement that he has to be mafkir in front of anybody. So we see that hefker doesn't require more than anybody, midaraisa being there. Also, point out to Rishonim, that the machloikas that we're learning now, in midaraisa, you have to have three people, two people, one person, is very much connected to the machloikas of Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, hefker doesn't take this object out of your possession until you have three people. Hefker alone doesn't take it. That's why he needs three people. The Rishu ben Levi is presumably agreeing with the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Shimon Levi is saying that as soon as you're mafkir it, it's not yours, and we don't need more. Just the Gemara said that midrabbanan, Rabbi Shimon Levi says you should have three people just to be sure that nobody, just to make sure that nobody could argue and nobody could disclaim what you said. There's a very fundamental, machlokes that the poskim discuss, and that is, what is the halacha if you were? We find in many places in halacha that people were only mafker in front of one person, and that the hefker is fine. The Rama says that the halacha is the midaraisa, a declaration of hefker takes effect, even if the says it, if you make mafker with no one else there. The Shulchan Aruch disagrees. Shulchan Aruch holds that you have to have at least one person. So the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara, beginning with Sechta Pesachim, Daftal Ramabeis, teaches us that Min HaTorah, Midaraisa, the way to avoid the Issa by Yiroa, by Yimotza, is by being Mafker. By saying that I'm being Mafker or my Chametz, so it's not my Chametz. And since it's not my Chametz, I'm not over by Yiroa, by Yimotza. Ask Tosfos that we just learned in our Gemara that Hefka has to have three people. And we know that bittel chametz, you don't have to do bittel chametz in front of three people. So why? Why don't you have to have three people? So Tosfos answers, as we just learned, because Midaraisa, Hefker is valid in front of one person. So that's very much a raya that the halacha is like Reb Shmuel Malevi. The Shita Mekubetzes takes a very different approach. His approach is that even if we'll say that Hefker requires three people, whether we'll say it's Midaraisa, whether we'll say it's Midarabonon, says the Shita Mekubetzes, there's certain times where I don't have to have all those people. Where are those times? Where it's obvious that I'm sincere in my Hefker. And the way I understand the Gemara is, in our Gemara, as we just understood, that if somebody's going to be Mafker, and then somebody else is going to pick it up, and then you'll come along and you'll say, how did you take my object? I was never Mafker it. You won't have eight, and there won't be Adam, so then there'll be a serious issue here. And that's why Chazal, in order to avoid these kind of problems, said that you should have three people. Like that, you could certainly avoid any problem. But in a case where we're sure that you want to be mafker, the examples that we've just given, chametz on erev Pesach, your animal is in the rishus of a non-Jew, and you're concerned that they're going to work with that animal on Shabbos, and you will be over shvisas behemta. In those cases where we have an anan sadi, that we're certain that you were mafkurit, and we're certain that you were mafkurit in front of with a full heart, there the halacha is that you don't need to have that you could be mafkurit. You don't need to have anybody else there. And in fact, Tosfos in Masechet Bava Metzia takes even a stronger step. He says you don't even halakhically have to articulate your hefker. The fact that you just say that it's hefker would be adequate, because we're sure that you really want to be mafkerit, because you don't want to be over chametz bePesach, shvisas behemtoy and Shabbos. Harun loch ben amuda. Says the Mishnah, hashutvim, two people own a piece of property. They own a chotzer in front of the houses, as when we learned Masechta Shabbos and we learned Masechta Erevin, the Gemara discussed quite extensively that they had chatzeris, they had partnerships, they had courtyards in front of the house. And we have shutvim, we have now Mishnah begins speaking about two partners that own a chotzer in front of their homes. In Mitzvah Shem, when we get into the Gemara, we're going to see a discussion if this is Kiyesh by Kedei Chalukah, if this piece of property could be divided between the two of them, or it's too small to be divided. What is the case of the Mishnah? And they made another to not to have benefit from each other. There are two ways how to express such a nether. One way of expressing the nether is Nichse Chaveroi, that the other person's property I may not have any benefit from it. The other way that a nether could be expressed is mechaveroi, that I'm not allowed to have any benefit from you. The difference, of course, is when somebody says nichse, he limited the benefit, that he's not allowed to benefit from the other person's property. When he says chaveroi, he's not allowed to have hanoah from that individual. So Rekev Eger, in learning the Ran, says that the Mishnah that we're speaking about is speaking about a case where he said nichse chaveroi. Because if the nether had been expressed hanoah's chaveroi, that he's not limiting the benefit to the property, but he's saying chaveroi, then the machloikis that we're going to learn now in the Mishnah, may that other partner walk on the property or not, would not be relevant. Because since I said no hanos chaveroi, then the halacha is that I'm not allowed to walk into that property and there would be no machloikis. The machloikis here is only where he said nichse chaveroi. Interestingly enough to point out that the Machna Ephraim and the Mishkan Yaakov say just the opposite. They say that the Mishnah is speaking about a case where you said hanos chaveri and not nechse chaveri. But again, back to the Mishnah. Hashutzim shenodru hanosom is that you have two partners that made a nether that they made a nether that they may not benefit one from the other, and now the one can they each walk in to the partner. So the halacha is the person who's not allowed to benefit from the other person's property, the halacha is you can't walk in. So of course the first thing we have to say is that we've learned many times in our Masechta the question about vitor. Vitor means if the benefit that you're having is of insignificant value, is that considered value? Our Mishnah clearly is speaking according to the man, the Amr, that holds vitor. This way most Rishonim learn, Ran, Taisvis, say that our Mishnah is following the opinion the vitor is also b'hanah. So even though the hanah that I may not have from you, in this case, is a minimal hanah, I'm just walking in, the halach is that the vitor is also b'hanah. That's the way Ran and Taisvis explain our Gemara, our Mishnah. The Rosh disagrees. He says that even according to the man, the Omer, that if it's insignificant, it's only vitur, it's not usur. Here, it's drisus haregel. And since it's drisus haregel, so the Rosh explains, there's a difference between walking into a field and walking into a chatzar. He says, walking in to an open field is very insignificant. And therefore, the halacha considers that vitur. And since the halacha considers such a situation vitur, if our Mishnah is taking a strong position on that, it's obviously following the opinion that vitor is also b'hanah. But says the Rosh, here, as we began discussing at the beginning of the shir, our Mishnah is speaking about a chotzer. People, a chotzer is my private property. People are much more sensitive about people walking into my private property. Since the halacha is much more sensitive about people walking into Chatzeris, that isn't the case of Vitor. And in that case, even the man the Omer that holds the Vitor is Mutar b'hanah will agree that this is not a case of Vitor. The Ritva says that the case of our Mishnah is not just limited that somebody wants to walk into the field. He wants to walk into the field and into the Chatzar and do something. Since he wants to walk into the field and do something, so that isn't the case of Vitor. It says, the Ritva, our Mishnah has nothing to do with the Halacha of Vitor. So our Mishnah said, back to the case of our Mishnah, where we have two partners, and each partner has a right to walk into the Chatzar. Still, if one partner is not allowed to benefit from the other partner, he would not be able to walk into the Chatzar, because the entire Chatzar is not mine. And the Chacham's opinion, and now we begin discussing a concept that we find often in Shas, and that is the concept of Breira. The Chacham's opinion is that Ein Breira, that when we walk in, when two people are partners, and using our example, if I walk in a certain part of the field, Breira would say that it's retroactive recognition that wherever I walk is my property. If we say Ein Breira, we don't accept that type of a retroactive designation. And therefore, the Chacham who don't subscribe to Breira will say that I can't walk into this field because I can't unequivocally state that wherever I walked on my property. But Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov disagrees. And he says we say Breira. And since we say Breira, wherever I'm walking, retroactively it turns out that it was mine. And since it always retroactively, wherever I walk, it's at that moment mine, based on Breira. And therefore, when I'm walking in the field, I'm not walking on my partner's property, which I'm now allowed to have Hanor, as the case of our Mishnah is, from him. I'm walking on my property. On my property, I'm allowed to walk. So the Rishonim ask why that we're saying that our Mishnah is following the basis of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's opinion is Breira. And he holds a Breira. And we're going to see in the Gemara that we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. But the question is that throughout Shas, whenever there's a machloikis of Yesh Breira or Ein Breira, so the Gemara says that by the Raisa we say Ein Breira, and by the Rabbanim we say Yesh Breira. Then the Dorim, as we're clearly learning, is Breira, is a Deraisa. So how can we pass on like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov when Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's entire opinion is based on Breira? So the Rashba answers that since, as we said before, many Rishonim say that our Mishnah is speaking about a case of Vitor, where it's insignificant benefit. So even the Mandal Amr, and we said that our Mishnah, the Rabbanan and our Mishnah, are going to be following the opinion that Vitor is Osur Rahana. Even the Mandal Amr, says the Rashba, that holds that Vitor is Osur Rahana, agrees that Vitor is Osur Rahana only with the Rabbanan. So therefore, our Mishnah is speaking about a Rabbanan Digger situation where we could say Breira. Rabbeinu Tam says that even though, as we're going to learn in our coming shiur, that the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it's not because of the reason Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov states, because of Breira. Because as we just said, says Rabbeinu Tam, when we're dealing with the Issa Deraisa, we don't rely on Breira. He says that the reason for our Mishnah, going back to something we mentioned, keep on mentioning, is that our Mishnah actually paskins that Vitor is Mutar B'Hana. And therefore, the machloikis of the Chachamim and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is really a machloikis that we've stated so many times in our shiurim. And that is Vitor Osur B'Hana, Vitor Mutar B'Hana. And the Rabbanan are going to hold the Vitor as Mutar Osur B'Hana. And therefore, in such a case, I can't walk into your property. And the Rabbanan hold, and Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds, the Vitor is Mutar B'Hana. And when we're paskening Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, we're not paskening because of Vitor, we're not paskening because of Breira. Breira would not be an acceptable explanation here, because Breira is Osir B'Deraisa, it's because of Vitor. The Ran says that even though B'Chol Shas, we paskin Ein Breira by Deraisa, says in this case, it's a very strong Breira. Because when I buy a field in partnership with a Chotzer, a partnership with somebody else, what I am saying, says the Ran, that I recognize that sometimes I'm going to use this property and sometimes you're going to use this property. So explains the Ran, when we have such a situation where each one of us is recognizing that we're buying this chatzar b'shutfus partnership, we understand that that's what's going to happen. Sometimes I'm going to be there and sometimes you're going to be there. So explains the Ran, it's a chiddush. The Ran is saying there are different levels of Breira. And throughout Shas, indeed, we say that we only hold a Breira by Deraisa, by the Rabbanan. We don't hold a Breira by a Deraisa. But explains the Ran, that's your normal case of Breira. But when we have a case of Breira, as is the case in our Gemara, which is a very strong Breira, where it's very obvious that when we bought this property, this chatzah together, we knew that we both want to use it, and sometimes I will and sometimes you will. That's a very strong type of Breira that even the man, the Amrim, that don't hold a Breira, even by the Raisa throughout Shas, will agree to Breira in this circumstance.